This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Welcome to LGIM Talks. I'm your host, Rob St. George, and my guest today is our head of ETF capital markets at LGIM, Annacala Della Piana. Annacala, how would you briefly describe your role?
So my role, it's very specific to ETF as a product because my main purpose is helping clients to achieve best value when they trade an ETF. There are a lot of misconception around ETF trading because a lot of clients are used to trade cash equity and they would apply the same rules to cash equity trading to ETFs. So my role is educating clients on ETF trading and working with all the brokers, the market makers and the liquidity providers that help ETF to be distributed in the market structure. My main concern, but also my main objective is keep educating clients around ETF liquidity, how to understand different layers of ETF liquidity and also, educating on ETF trading.
Mm. But there were some hopes, weren't there, that MiFID II might change all that by making the trading reporting far clearer and more transparent. Has that happened?
So this is a great question. So after MiFID II came into effect, we are seeing an increased amount of information available to ETF investors, and we're seeing an increased amount of information around ETF liquidity and trading volumes. The data, unfortunately, is not still consumable and is not aggregated and sometimes is not available to the end investors.
So if these end investors are only seeing a partial picture of the true liquidity of ETF markets, is there anything they can do to get a fuller sense of how liquid these markets are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the major challenge here is that the ETF investors, when they trade ETFs, they're still looking at ETFs as a cash equity trading instruments, while the ETF trading is very different. So an example, when I speak to traders on the buy side, they trade cash equity most of the time, so they're not used to ETF trading, or if they're used to ETF trading, the volumes they're seeing, they're not justifying sophisticated trading techniques. So the challenge for me is educating clients around the true liquidity of an ETF, the different layers of ETF liquidity, and keep educating clients so they get better at trading ETFs.
Do you think that regulators have any role to play in this educational push?
Yes, absolutely. I believe regulation is key to increase the transparency and the trade reporting of the ETFs in Europe. As you know, the European market is extremely fragmented. So as an industry, we are one of the very few financial industries that believe we should have a more regulation.
Mm. So bearing all that in mind, the partial data, the fragmentation, are there any best practices people can use when trading ETFs?
Yes, absolutely. There are a few best practices to trade ETF as effectively as possible. First of all, it's important that all the ETF's transaction costs are fully charged to the end investors, so the buyer or the seller, and they do never impact the existing investors. Transaction costs for ETFs are inclusive of buying and selling the underlying securities, inventory costs, FX currency costs, hedging costs, custody costs, and other business costs. So, for example, when you trade on exchange, it's good to keep an eye on all the different prices and quantities available on the order book. And you need to consider market volatility because market volatility can affect bid-ask spreads on exchange as well as available transaction sizes. So it's generally more efficient to avoid trading around market open, market close, and a number of events such as the release of economic indicators, statements from central banks, or news from companies that are large constituents of your chosen ETFs.
And are there any other ways that that investors can work with capital market specialists such as yourself to make trading more efficient?
Yeah, I always suggest to clients to consider limit orders if they can. Limit orders would allow you to execute your trade at your desired price or lower. You can use them only if you're able to monitor your order and if you're not subject to time constraints. So the ETF shares may not be available at your chosen price and not all of your trade may be executed.
Okay, so that's very clear. Use limit orders where appropriate, and bear in mind the total cost of ownership when trading these ETFs. But I mean, also, these benefits aren't just theoretical, are they? Can you quantify how they affect investors in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, when you trade an ETF, you should always consider the cost of buying and selling the underlying securities, as I said before. So recently, I've been speaking to a client that was willing to switch quite an important amount of money from one ETF to another with a similar market, tracking a similar market.
Okay, so in this case, we have an investor who holds one ETF and wants to move to a very similar product. How would they normally do that?
Well, normally, if they don't speak to the ETF capital markets team, they would just sell the first product to a given broker and buy the second product to another broker. Instead, if they speak to me, for example, or another member of an ETF capital markets team, there are some significant cost savings they can achieve. In this specific case, the two ETFs were very similar. They had a similar underlying exposure. So I ran a quick analysis comparing the two baskets of securities behind both ETFs, and they were overlapping for most of the basket. So instead of buying one ETF one day and selling the second one on another day, you can speak to a single broker, and actually this broker can net off the trading in the underlying market and achieve a very significant cost saving for the end investors, because you don't need to sell all the securities on the underlying market and buy them back again.
In practice, can you give us a sense of how much that client was able to save by doing one transaction instead of two?
Yeah, in this case, the cost of buying the first fund, so selling the first fund, was 9 bips. Buying the other fund was another 9 bips. So the theoretical cost would have been 18 bips if the client didn't execute a single transaction. By speaking to capital markets, in this case, the client was able to save 5 bips on the whole transaction, and that could be a very important amount.
Absolutely, it's vast for an ETF. But I mean, that isn't the only way investors may be incurring unwanted costs when holding and trading ETFs. I know that at your roundtable earlier, you discussed something that we call the rebalancing effect. Can you just give us the context for why this matters and what it is?
Yes, absolutely. So it's very important to understand there is an increased concern in the investor's mind about the rise of index investing. So there is, a PwC report from 2017 that was estimating the passive assets growing from about 14 trillion in 2017 to more than double in 2025. So these assets have an important weight, and they can influence benchmark and also securities. For me, this is increasingly evident when you look at what happens around the mainstream indexes rebalancing dates. So we know index additions and deletion in advance, because these are generally announced several days before they are implemented. So some traders can act in advance and actually buy or sell the securities knowing what the mainstream indexes will do in a short period of time.
That sounds very theoretical. Have we seen it actually come to pass in practice in markets?
Yeah, we analyzed it for the past years, and we have seen that actually just by moving the rebalancing days from away from the classic mainstream indexes, we could help the client to save up to 6.5 basis points of performance, just because we were trading away from the crowds.
Okay, great. Thank you, Anna-Carla. So just to wrap all this together, we talked about liquidity. Can you just sum up for us how investors should really be thinking about ETF liquidity?
Yeah, investors should work closely with their ETF capital markets team of reference to better analyze ETF liquidity, to have a better view of ETF trade reporting and better transparency, as well as consider the best practice before trading an ETF Work with your broker for example for switching from between two similar ETFs.
And we also talked about this rebalancing effect. And again, can you just remind us how investors might avoid those kind of costs which they may not wish to incur?
Yeah. Instead of investing in a classic ETF that is tracking a mainstream index, you should consider, a different ETF with an index with a similar exposure that rebalances away from the crowds.
Anna Carla, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you would like to learn more about ETFs and ETF trading, please do click on the link in our episode notes to access our newly published ETF reference guide. Thank you again for listening.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.